Today I wanted to talk about really going from dust to the light. You know, healing life life. You know, healing life disorders, as Liza was saying, is a good way of saying it. And quite often, how do we do that? How do we change our life? Because there's a lot of people out there in the world, they see that they don't really like what's happening in their life. They don't like what's going on in their life, and they want to change it. And so man has devised all kinds of things that we can do. There's self-improvement, and there's self-analysis, and there's, you know, examining yourself. And so you begin to focus on all of the mistakes and the problems and the shortcomings, and now you begin to take them apart and you look closer at them and you put them under a microscope and you examine them a little bit more, and then you take them apart some more and you look at them a little closer and you think deep thoughts about these things. And what happens when you're focused on that? You begin to see, there are more problems. You start noticing more mistakes and more shortcomings that you have. And so you begin to think deeper thoughts. You begin to look closer at it, analyze some more, take it apart some more. This is your life. You keep looking at it and examining and taking it apart and looking closer and trying to figure out what you need to do, only to discover, there's more mistakes, more problems, more flaws, more shortcomings. And now you have to do even deeper thoughts. And so this is the process that many people in the world are in, trying to fix their life. And what they discover is, along the way, they will realize sometimes that they're going in circles. Sometimes they will realize that what it does, sometimes they don't realize this, but what it is doing is it makes you more aware of your problems and your mistakes and your shortcomings, and it makes you more aware of everybody else's shortcomings and mistakes and problems and flaws. And so you're upset with the people around you because you see they've got problems and they've got shortcomings and they're making mistakes and they're not thinking deep thoughts. And so what we're doing, though, is the more we focus on what is wrong, we're digging a hole for ourselves. We're digging a hole about 6 feet deep and about 6 feet long. Well, for some of you, a little short. Maybe 4 feet for some of you. But, you know, we're digging this hole as we continue to look and examine. And I understand, because I was one of these people trying to do self-improvement. I'm going to improve myself. If I can just really focus on this problem, I'm going to get a handle on it and I'm going to fix it. And I understand the motivation behind that, because that was me for a long time, and I could think very deep thoughts. And I would focus on the problem and look at it and examine it and see it, only to see more problems and examine those and see more problems. And we just keep going around in these circles, deeper and deeper, digging that hole for ourselves, instead of finding what it is I really wanted. And what is it we're really looking for? We're looking for improvement in our life. We're looking for change in our life. We're looking for healing in our life. And it's not coming by examining and looking at it. Now, let me read this. This is interesting. This is Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. In verse 8, and this is Paul was writing this. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the traditions of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. There are a lot of techniques. There are a lot of methods. There are a lot of ways that men have come up to try to fix their problems. It says, don't be cheated. Don't be fooled by those. Because one of the things we got to understand is it's not working. The examining the problem only helps us to see more problems. The seeing the mistakes only helps us to have more mistakes. Looking at the flaws or our shortcomings only helps us to realize how flawed and how short we are. Mm-hmm. You know, but we don't get to really experience the healing that we want to have. And so when we start to try to do it man's way, we're cheating ourselves. We're fooling ourselves. But yet we want to do it according to Christ, the way of the anointed. The anointed way is the way of God to do it. In 2 Corinthians not 2 Corinthians. Oh, sorry, here it is. 1 Corinthians. Chapter 15, we read this in verse 47. The first man was of the earth, made of dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are made of dust, and as is the heavenly man, so also are those who are heavenly. And as we are born in the image of the man of dust, we shall also be born in the image of the heavenly man. So we got two images. We got the man of dust image, and we got the heavenly man image. When we are sifting and analyzing and focused on the mistakes and the flaws, we are examining the man of dust. When we are thinking with our mind, deep thoughts, we are looking at the man of dust. And the more we sift through the dust, guess what we find?
More dust.
More dust. In the dust, we find more dust. We do not find healing. We do not find the solution to our problem. We merely find more dust. And hopefully it doesn't rain, because then we'll have mud. And the blessing, which is the rain in the spiritual meaning, rain represents blessing, will not bless our life. It makes it worse. It becomes mud. And now we're wallowing around in the mud rather than receiving blessing which God planned for us. We have to know that the answers are not in the dust. The answers are not in the man of dust. Remember, the man of dust they speak about here was that first man. You might remember this from Genesis. Remember Adam? It says that God formed him out of the dust. And that first man, what he did was he decided to go off and do his own thing and go on his own way rather than stay in alignment with God, with heaven. And as a result of that, he realized he was making mistakes. He realized that he was flawed. Before that, when he was in the will of God, when he was in alignment with God, he was perfect because he was created in the image of God. That's the way he was meant to be, righteous, good. But as a result of his decision to kind of think deep thoughts, because what was it that he did? He started to think, if I can eat this fruit, I will be as good as God. He started thinking, something's wrong with me. If only I could find the right technique, do some self-improvement, then I'll be as good as God. And yet he didn't realize, or he had been deceived, because he already was as good as God. He was created in the image of God. But because of the deep thoughts and the analysis and the looking closer, he became so caught up in that that he now is trying to be as good as God. And as a result, he begins to examine the dust. And now he's having problems. The more we do self-improvement, examining self, something that happens is we become more self-absorbed. We become more focused on ourselves. In fact, we become so focused on ourselves, a lot of times we start to become unaware of the world. We start to become unaware of other people in our lives. There are some people that I know who have done a lot of self-improvement, meaning they've done it on their own, their improvement. And what's interesting is they seem to be on the outside very strong and powerful. Many of these are ladies that I know. They're very strong and powerful and independent, and yet they're single. And this was pointed out to me by somebody a few weeks ago. They said, isn't it funny how there's so many single, strong women that are, you know, doing this self-improvement stuff? And I'm like, wow, that's interesting. I hadn't thought about it. And as I started to think about the people I knew, I was like, wow, they're right. They're mostly single. And it's because we become so self-absorbed that we now can't relate to another person. We start to, instead of being with them, we can't stand them. Because we also see all the problems that they have. I'm working on my problems. I don't need their problems. I'm busy organizing my baggage, trying to get my baggage all worked out. If I can just file this away correctly, get it all orderly, I won't have a problem. So I don't need their baggage. And so they find themselves alone. So just focused on yourself will get you to a point where you are alone. Instead of really being there with somebody. The other thing that happens as we work on fixing ourselves, we're often not ready to start living life. We're not ready because there's always something else to fix. I saw this in my own life. You know, I spend a lot of time focusing and looking and thinking deep thoughts and realizing, okay, I'm not quite ready. I'd love to do this in life, but I'm not ready because I got to fix this. If I fix this, then I can go and I can start living life. The problem was I always saw that once I thought I had something fixed, I found something else to fix. And so I still wasn't ready to start living life. And the thing we got to know is that, you know, we will never live life if we're always working on improving ourselves. Let's go back to this verse. The man of dust. 1 Corinthians verse 15 and verse 47, it said, the first man was of the earth, made of dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven. Aha! There's a second man on the grassy knoll. Maybe he's on a mountain even. The second man, the man from heaven, the Lord, they're talking about Jesus. Now, Jesus came to bring all of the goodness of heaven, all of the wisdom of heaven, all of the truth of heaven, all of the light of heaven, all of the perfection of heaven and of God onto the earth. And when we start to understand that we can become that image, because if we read on here, it says, as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man.
Amen.
We can become that heavenly man. We are that heavenly man.
Amen.
When we know God and have received the Spirit of God, we are the heavenly man.
Amen.
What does that mean for us? That means that you are righteous. You are right with God. You are perfect. He has blotted out your transgressions so he doesn't see them. Now it's time for you to step into that and begin to see your perfection that he has brought upon you.
Amen.
His gift of righteousness. Yes, say amen to this.
Amen.
Come on, help me out here.
Praise God. Praise God.
So start to see this. Start to focus on how good you are. When we look at the dust, we find more dust. But when we focus on the Creator, we begin to see what he has created.
Mm-hmm.
We start to see if the Creator is perfect and filled with love and goodness and created us in his image, now we begin to see our perfection. We begin to see our love because God is flowing through us. We begin, now the light begins to go on, no longer digging a hole into darkness and obscurity, but now stepping into the light. This, and now your life begins to change. Now your life begins to improve. See, self-improvement is just focused on the self and self-absorption. It should be God improvement, focused on the heavenly man, the Lord God, Jesus. As we focus on him now, we start to truly see what in our lives? We see perfection. We see righteousness. We see miracles. We see blessings. Now when the rain falls, it doesn't become mud. The rain falls, it becomes favor. It becomes blessing.
Amen.
It becomes abundance
Amen.
In our life.
Praise God.
And that's what we get to have to look forward to. We are righteous. And it's a gift that God has given us. And when we receive that gift, and that's how we can improve ourselves, because I understand the motivation. But if you want to change your life, you begin to focus on God's righteousness and receive it. Focus on how God's blessing, and then you receive it. And now what do you begin to see in other people? You start to see their righteousness, like God's righteousness coming through them. You begin to see how great they are, how amazing they are. And what do you want to do? You don't want to be alone. Now you want to be with other people because you want to share together how great life is. And this is the other thing.
Amen.
We're not busy fixing ourselves. Why? Because we're already fixed.
Amen.
You're already fixed. Meaning there's nothing to fix and to worry about and wait for tomorrow. We can start to live today.
Amen.
Jesus said, I came to bring you life more abundant.
Amen.
Have an abundant life, meaning start to live that abundant life today. Say amen to this.
Amen.
As we start to live a life more abundant, now we can start to really enjoy the things that God has prepared for us. And we can stand in the light and see and know what God has prepared for us. Don't be cheated.
Amen.
by the philosophies of men. Because there are ways out there in the world that look right to us. This is it. Is they can look right, they seem right, maybe they even feel right. But if we're going in circles and sifting through dust, it's not right. And it's not going to get us to where we want to go. In Proverbs 21:2, it says, every way of a man is right in his own eyes. It's right in his own eyes. But the Lord weighs the hearts. The Lord knows the truth. You know, it looks right in our own eyes. But we really want to be turning to God and saying, show me, lead me, reveal to me. It says here in Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 23, O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. The way of man is not in himself. Did you catch that? Mm-hmm. It's not in me. If I analyze me, all I'm going to get is more dust, because that is what I'm focused on. It's not in me. It is not in man who walks to direct his own steps. So who directs his steps if it's not in us? The Lord God directs our steps. He directs us and leads us to greater things. In Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28, the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. How do we get better? God has created the ultimate improvement in our life just by receiving his gifts. He has the wisdom. He gives us the strength. He never gets weary. He never faints.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Yeah, he brings strength into our life. And this is how we improve in our life. This is how our life changes. This is how we change other people's lives, by helping to point them in the direction of the truth. In Jeremiah 17:5, it says, chapter 17, verse 5, thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength. Uh-oh, I'm not doing that. Thankfully, we have a choice, because in verse 7, it says, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is the Lord. What do we want? Do we want the dust, or do we want the heavenly man? Do we want a cursing, or do we want a blessing? It talks about Adam being cursed, and it was only because he started to rely on man, his own understanding, rather than on God. If you rely on God, the blessing comes. The blessing always comes when you rely on God. Here's a gift that God has given us in Psalms chapter 107, verse 2. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. We are the redeemed. You are the redeemed.
Amen.
Say, I am redeemed.
I am redeemed.
I am redeemed.
I am redeemed.
It says the redeemed say so. I am redeemed.
I am redeemed.
Amen.
Amen.
And if we start to focus on the fact that we are redeemed, and that we are righteous, and that we are blessed, guess what happens in your life? More blessing, more righteousness, more strength, because God strengthens you, as we read in this verse. He is, you know, his wisdom comes into our life. We have all of that if we focus on him. I remember Job did something similar. Remember Job? Job was a guy, he was a rich guy in all the land, and he had animals, and he had children, and he had land, and he had a wife, and then he started running into some problems, and he lost the children, he lost the land, and he lost the livestock, and he lost his health. He must have been feeling pretty bad at that point. You know, imagine if he would have started to look at himself and do some self-improvement. Gee, where did I go wrong? What did I do? I must have made some mistakes. Let me analyze exactly what happened here. If I can just go back and retrace my steps. And he gets in there for the next 50, 100 years analyzing exactly what was wrong. Thankfully, he didn't do that. Because he never would have got out of it. He would have been going in circles. Job kept turning towards God, kept trusting in God, and knowing God is the one that blesses. And then he got to that point where he started to think about his friends. And he started to pray for his friends. So he's no longer looking at himself. Because it's easy if you lose the children and the land and the riches and the health. What do we usually do? We start to be more self-absorbed. We start to look more at ourselves. But then we would get caught in that and wouldn't get out of it. Instead, we need to look towards God. That's where the answer is. And as we look towards God, then we start to see beyond ourselves. And that's what happened with Job. He starts to think about his friends. And he begins to pray for his friends to receive healing and blessing. And as he's doing this, what happens with Job? Job now is blessed double. He gets double blessing now, more than he had before. So he has more, twice as many children, twice as much land, twice as many wives. No, I only have one wife. But he was healed fully and completely in all ways as a result of focusing on others. That's the way life works for us. We can be a blessing and change lives and change the world by praying and blessing others, being a blessing to others. And by focusing on God, we have the strength, we have the wisdom, and we have the knowledge to know how to do that. And all we have to do is just focus on the right man, the heavenly man. Focus on the Lord. He is that heavenly man. He is that heavenly man. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 4, it says, "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world." You overcome this world. Amen. This world is nothing to you. I want to tell you today. This world is nothing to you. I want to tell you today. Listen. This world is nothing to you. The chains have been broken. There is nothing holding you back. There is nothing that is sick in you. There is nothing that is weak in you. There is nothing that can hinder you. Hold up your hands. Praise God. Receive this. There is nothing that can stop you today because you've been made the righteousness of God. You have the blessing of God. Say, I receive that.
I receive that.
All chains have been broken and God has been liberated you. You are liberated today.
I am liberated.